sit right here for now. And then when I leave, I'm sorry. Right. This is really secret, wasn't it? Well, with my crafts, you know, I've done crafts several times kind of for Sunday school, and I want to make sure my man card stays intact so that nobody thinks that I, you know, go to Michael's on purpose, you know. So this illustration, hopefully it'll work today. It was done kind of hastily, but there's a great meaning behind it, and hopefully my crafts will make it to the end of it. Amen. All right. Good to be in Sunday school this morning and in the house of the Lord and with Brother Perry. He's teaching, by the way. So, yeah, he laughed, anyhow. All right, let's take the offering this morning. And while Brother Patrick's coming, turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 4, verses 16 through 20. Stick your finger in there, and then also flip over to Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1 through 3. Luke 4, 16 through 20. Isaiah 61, 1 through 3. Brother Patrick, pray, sir. Challenged and changed. I like that. Amen. Everybody get a handout. The top sheet there in the handout is for you to take home. And after this class, do some self-evaluation. Hopefully you'll be able to take what is taught this morning, be able to apply it to our lives. Amen. What good does the Word of God do if all we do is hear it, and we hear it, and we hear it, and we hear it, and we never apply it to our lives? We never allow the Holy Ghost to make it life in us. His word is life. It's truth. Always will be. It's Him, as a matter of fact. We need to allow it to have its perfect work in us. Amen. We need to submit to His will and allow His word to have its perfect work in us. Amen. Now, the topic today is deliverance. Deliverance. Let's read these scriptures. Let's start out in Luke chapter 4, and I'll read them here, and everybody got that? All right, here we go. And he came to Nazareth, as speaking about Jesus, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue, and on the Sabbath day he stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1 through 3, where our Lord was in the tabernacle, temple, and he picked up the book of Isaiah and read from. This is the place. It's Isaiah 61, 1 through 3, and it says this: "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He might be glorified. In these scriptures, we see the ministry, the topics of ministry laid out for us about what Christ came to do for mankind. Now, we know that He came to seek and to save that which was lost, correct? Okay? But that wasn't all He came to do. If that was all He came to do, then we could rejoice in that too. But He also came that we might live a victorious Christian life after our salvation. That we would be delivered from those things that have had us bound. Now, we talked a couple of weeks ago about some of the things in the words associated with salvation. We talked about justification. Remember that? There is no legal binding thing on us anymore. After we're saved for real, no legal attachment to sin. We're justified by faith. We have peace with God. You know, I was going to bring this up, and being over 50, I forgot, but last week when we were talking about justification, and I don't know how it worked for you, but I know that when I prayed and I was justified, the Bible says in Romans 5:1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That second I prayed and was real with God, amen, the peace of God flooded my soul. I knew that my sins had been broken. I knew that the power of my sins over my life had been broken, because the peace of God came flooding in to my heart. That weight. Now, some of you folks maybe never were very far deep into sin. And I'm not trying to glorify being a sinner. But I can tell you this. There was a great weight of sin on this old boy's back. It was so heavy. Every day, to drag that thing around. But when I gave my life to Christ, when I was justified, when He looked down into my heart and said, you're for real and I know it. You want to come my way. You've repented and you're converted. Now you're justified. And the peace of God, amen, came into my heart and life. Well, this, what I want to talk about today is one of the other aspects that takes place then. I am saved positionally right then. The power of sin is broken over my life. But you know, and I know, that it doesn't all of a sudden just end up out in the backyard buried. Amen? When you got saved, do you know that there were things that still ran through your mind that probably today do not run through your mind? But they were there in the beginning. Huh? The things that ran through your mind, you needed maybe even deliverance from some of those things. Where you had to find out what the Word of God had to say about it, apply it to your life, pray it through, and then live it out. Amen. Positionally, it's broken over us. The second we get saved, those sins are gone. But practically, there's a whole lot going on inside of you and I that needs dealt with. And whether we're in sin for a minute or 10,000 years, we're going to be cleaning ourselves up after salvation all the way to glory. Amen. Through the Word of God. This topic came to me last week as soon as Brother Wally asked me to teach this topic of deliverance. Now, I can see some of you are looking at me like, where is this guy going? You know, there's some pretty crazy stuff going out there under this topic, and I'll deal with that in a minute. But the truth of the matter is, as we read these scriptures in Luke, as we read the scriptures in Isaiah, one of the things that he came to do was not only to positionally set us free from the bondage of sin. That was not all he came to do. He came to break its power practically over our lives. Amen. We need to move, walk in that to bring him glory. Amen. I got this topic then, and I've studied it this week. You know, I have a goal this morning. I've been reading a book that the pastor gave me, and he says you need to have a goal, and you need to, you know, when you're teaching or preaching or whatever, you need to have a goal. Here's my goal. I'm going to let you in on it, okay? That through this teaching, someone would find true deliverance through Christ. That's my goal. Is that one of us would, and maybe all of us would find some place in our lives where we can say to ourselves and be very, very honest and say, here is one issue in my life I just cannot seem to get over. And I need to have deliverance over that. Amen. That's the goal, okay? All of my illustrations are going to have these three points in them, if you will. That God wants us to be free that way too. Otherwise, why would it have been mentioned as part of the ministry of Christ that He came to set the captives free? Amen. It wouldn't even have been mentioned. He said, we came to break the bondage of sin, and there you go. That's not what it says. Even those that are bruised, that have been hurt through life, that maybe those memories of those hurts keep them bound up. And they need deliverance from those things. Amen. That's the first thing. God wants us to be free. We can be free is point number two. He wouldn't have come to set us free if we couldn't have been free. And we can be free. And sometimes it's just us and Him working it out in our relationship together. Him and I, I'm praying, I'm reading, and Him and I, we're working this thing out, and things are falling off, and I'm going on for Him. Amen. Then there are other times when those deep-rooted things in our lives, and they come to the forefront. I notice that this one thing is affecting me in a lot of other areas. And I know that I've got to deal with it, but it is so painful or so deeply rooted that I may need help. I may need the help of a brother or a sister. Somebody full of the Holy Ghost that maybe even had victory over that very same thing to come along beside me, to lay their hand on me, to pray with me at the altar, to tell me, hey, God wants you to be free of this too. So you can go on and be everything you need to be for Him. Amen. Now let's see the hands of everybody that wants to be everything they can be for Him. I want to be everything I can be. I don't want to drag this baggage around from now until the rapture really happens, by the way. And not bring glory to the Lord. I don't want to drag this stuff around. It says that that would in our scriptures here that we would bring glory to Him. Amen. Well, one of the things that we see too in today's church, as you look outside these doors anyway, is that the worldly church has taken this deliverance topic and perverted it. Now this is where me and Benny Hinn and all them other folks probably aren't going to agree too much. But the worldly church has turned deliverance into meaning something that it never was meant to mean. If you have your handouts on the second page down at the bottom, that's from the Full Life Study Bible. And I didn't call them to ask them if I could use it, but I hope they don't mind. I'm not trying to sell anything here. you know, because there's copyright laws and all that. I'm not trying to be violating of those, but the church out there, the church, the worldly church, has turned deliverance into meaning that Christians need to have demons cast out of them. That is not what I'm talking about this morning. There is nothing further from the truth of having a possessed person, a demon-possessed person that is a real, born-again, spirit-filled believer. That's hogwash. And if you're looking at the TV or the web or whatever and somebody's preaching along and they come to that and say, you can be possessed if you're a Christian, turn the thing off. We got rid of our TV, and one of the reasons is because of the ministries on it. Because of the ministries on it, we're so perverted. But that's what they've done, the liberal church. Now, do you think that doesn't affect those that are of the conservative mentality, what the worldly church does? Well, let me ask you this. Is faith, having faith in God, is that a scriptural topic? Having faith in God, is that a scriptural? It's not a trick question, folks. Is having faith in God a scriptural topic? It is. But you know what? Several years ago, there was the blab-it-grab-it crowd that was chaining themselves to Cadillacs, confessing that Cadillac was theirs by faith. Isn't that true, Brother Perry? They perverted the truth. My Bible still says in Matthew 21:22, and all things, whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer believing, ye shall receive. My Bible still says that. The worldly church took that truth and perverted it. And they're doing the same thing with deliverance. There is a biblical truth about deliverance for the child of God that they're preaching in a wrong way. And we need to look at it from the right perspective. Amen. From the right way. So we can be what we want, we need to be for God. My Bible also says, and excuse my voice, I'm sorry, but it says in Luke 9:11-10, this going along this faith thing. And I shall say unto you, ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened. For every one that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and him that knocketh it shall be opened. And the devil saw that when the worldly church taught on something and taught a partial truth, that the conservative church, the holiness church, took a step back from that. The devil saw that when they preached it, we didn't want to be associated with them, so guess what we stopped doing? We stopped preaching some biblical truth. The biblical truth is, in all things, whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. And there's a truth about deliverance too, friend. Brother, sister, there's a truth about deliverance that they're preaching the wrong way, that you and I need to get a hold of the right way. Amen. The devil saw that. He saw that whenever they preached something, we backed up. And you know, in 2 Corinthians 11:14-15, it tells us that stuff's going to happen. It says, "And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it's no great thing if his ministers be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." Amen. I did a web search. Deliverance Ministries, Deliverance Ministry. I came up with over 200 on one page just in the United States. And every one of them believe this doctrine, that you can be possessed as a Christian. I thought, for crying out loud. So that's one of those times I'd like to be smart enough to make a worm and send it into their servers. Of course, that'd be illegal, and I wouldn't do that, but And I'm thinking, for crying out loud, how utterly foolish. Well, if we read down here on our scripture or our handout here, getting back to this, it says, believers and demons. The scriptures teach that no true believer who is indwelt by the Holy Spirit can be demon-possessed. That is, the spirit and demons can never dwell in the same body. Gives us some scriptures to look at. Now, here is what you and I need to understand, though. Demons may, however, influence the thoughts, the emotions, and actions of Christians who fail to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. So this evaluation sheet, the first sheet of that, I want you to read that and go through those scriptures that are down there on the bottom of that other page. And I want you to look at that as doing a self-evaluation that says, hey, is there a place in my life? Because see, it's about us and Him. Is there a place in my life where I'm allowing the enemy to affect my emotions, my thoughts? Is there a place in my life where I'm allowing the enemy of my soul to bind me, to have me bound? Amen. I can tell you, it happens. It happens. And we need to get a grip on it. All right. So I found over 200 ministries where this doctrine was preached. There's even an international society. It's called the International Society of Deliverance Ministers, ISDM. And I thought, my. But I want to start here now. I want to go into this next portion of this class and give you the definition of deliverance. This comes from the Webster's Dictionary. But here's what it means, deliverance. Release from captivity, slavery, oppression, or any restraint. And it goes and it uses the scriptures that I used this morning to bring that out, out of Luke chapter 4. Rescue from danger or any evil. The act of bringing forth children is deliverance. When I deliver a baby, and some of you have done that. I don't want to go into all that stuff, but then it goes on and it goes down into saying the acquittal of a prisoner by the verdict of a jury. God send you a good deliverance. Now, in the natural, what came to my mind first was of this picture of deliverance came to me from 1 Samuel chapter 30. And if you'll turn there, I'd appreciate it. 1 Samuel chapter 30. Here we have the account of David. Now remember, we're looking at this in the natural so we can apply it to the spiritual. Now, where we're at here in this portion of Scripture is at Ziklag. Now, if you remember, Ziklag is where David was staying while he was being pursued by Saul, and he was there for a time. But listen to these scriptures. And it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag, and And it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag, and smitten Ziklag, and burned it with fire, and had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, neither great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captive. Now, if you'll allow me, the Amalekites are a picture of what Satan does. He takes the weak, he takes the helpless, and he takes them captive. David came back and has found out all of his precious things were taken captive, and now we're under the power of his enemy. Now, we're looking at something in the natural so we can apply it in the spiritual. So let's look at this again. Now, David prays in verse 8 of the same chapter. And the Lord tells him to go. It says this, "And David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. So David went, he and his 600 men that were with him, and came to the brook Besor, where those that were left behind stayed. But David pursued, he and 400 men, for 200 abode behind, which were so faint that they could not go over Besor." Verse 18 and 19, "He did recover it all." Amen. David, in verse 18 it says, "And David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away. And David rescued his two wives, and there was nothing lacking to them, neither small nor great, neither sons nor daughters, neither spoil nor anything that they had taken to them. David recovered it all." Now, if you heard in the story here, in the account, we find that David had to leave some men behind. They were so weak, so faint. They had already been out fighting. All 600 of them had, but 200 of them could not go. They were so weak, they could not go across the river. But the 400, they went, and they were used mightily of God to bring back every single thing. They came to the captives and they rescued them. They brought them home free. Now, some of them didn't want those 200 to sit there and gain the benefits. Now, let's read in verses 22 and 23. "Then answered all the wicked men of Belial, of those that went with David, and said, because they went not with us, we will not give them aught of the spoil that we have recovered." You're not getting anything, save to every man his wife and his children, that they may lead them away and depart. "Then said David, ye shall not so do, or do so, my brethren, with that which the Lord has given us, who hath preserved us and delivered the company that came against us into our hand." God wants us to be free. We can be free, and sometimes it's just us and the Lord. Then there are other times when we may need help. Those 200 that stayed behind, guess what they needed? They needed help. And what did the man of God say? The man of God said, hey, you'll share in this alike. We'll help you. We'll give you what you have coming to you. That's our job as ministers for Christ, is to be used in that deliverance ministry, if you will, to deliver back to people things that their enemy has taken that they may not be strong enough to get on their own. It's one of the 3 points. Amen. And he did. He recovered it all. Been promoted at work. I'm now a supervisor. I liked it a lot better when all I had to do was work on machines, Brother Perry, because when a machine talks back to you, you find the plug. It didn't work. It doesn't work that way with people. I just put it like that. There ain't no plug. But I was talking to a guy this last week. Now that I've been promoted, I was trying to get him to go to a certain place where he had had an interaction issue. One of the bosses that was there, we're a contractor, so we go to a lot of different places. Sometimes we're looked down upon by people because we do contract work. We're not their people, so to speak. And we get talked to. I had one guy, this is no lie. I went up to him, I said, hey, I need help finding this part. And he was bent over. He turned around and stuck his finger right in my face and said, if you think I'm going to help you take my job, I said, dude, I'm here to help you. You know, don't be railing on me. But anyway, this guy was really, and I just laughed it off, you know. I figured, hey, that dude's got an issue. But this guy, this young man that I got to talk to, he was really wronged at this place. And I'm starting to talk to him, brother, and trying to tell him, hey, you know, you need to get over this. pretty soon he was like this. Just talking about the individual that he was so frustrated with, he physically began to shake. Now, he's not a Christian. And I said, friend, you need to get over this, or this is going to affect you in other portions of your life. I know he's married. I know he's got kids. At that instant, I could see the lights go on. And I said, it already has, hasn't it? He said, don't tell anybody. That's what he told me. That thing that had him so bound was affecting every area of his life. He's not saved. How's he going to deal with it? Hopefully we can pray him through it. But it's got him so bound. And you know, that's what the Word says happens to folks that let bitterness get to that point. Hebrews 12:15 says, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. A root of bitterness in me can affect you, and vice versa. And I'm bound by that bitterness. And Christ does not want us to be bound by anything. So positionally, we are saved this bondage to these things. If that guy gets saved, that bondage to that can be broken just like that. But do you know practically in him? For a while maybe even, somebody will mention that man's name and he will begin. It may happen, I don't know. Maybe he'll get complete deliverance from it. As bad as it affected him, though, I would hazard a guess that if he does get saved, it's going to affect him for a little while. Now, if we look in the Word in 1 Corinthians 2, it talks about we have the mind of Christ, and that's talking about positionally. You go through Romans chapter 6 and 7 and 8, it talks about how we're positionally set free from sin. Sin will have no more dominion. The power of sin over our life is broken. Then there's the practical side. The practical side is this. In John 8:32 it says, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. That individual, when he finally does come to the Lord, and I'm praying for him, I want him to get saved, there will come a time when in his life, God will deal with that issue. And then we'll go back through our three things. God wants you to be free. Sometimes you can get free on your own. Sometimes you may need help. And we'll have to be there to help him get through it if that's what happens. Positionally and practically. Well, we kind of smirk when we think about it in other people's lives. When I'm talking about this individual, we look at it and we go, oh, yeah. That's right, in him. While in our lives. Oh, it may not be that we're so angry at somebody that sits across the church or whatever. It may not be any of that. But there may be something that's lingering in our lives that has got us bound. When I gave my life to Christ, I was a chain smoker. I told you over and over and over again. Almost to the point where I hate to even mention it. I got my first whipping for smoking at 9. I used to make my dad's cigarettes for him. We got that little Laredo kit and put the filter and the tobacco and the paper and you push this lever and out came a cigarette. I used to make him for him. One for dad, one for me. Two for dad, one for me. About burned our garage down. First time I ever got a whipping for smoking was then. It had me bound. So we're going to have a super steer. Remember with the dogs? Remember that thing? Where they had the man, okay. I'm out there working before the thing opened up. I'm an electrician and I'm doing work out there and I'm saved. I've got my Bible open at lunchtime. And I look, ashes fell on it. because I was smoking at the same time. I'm telling you, I was bound by cigarettes, friend. And it took a while. You know what it took for me? It took more than just me being able to say, hey, I don't like doing this. Look at my Bible. My Bible has ashes on it. I had to go and get anointed and prayed for. I had to go get help. Because in that one thing in my life, I could not get over it on my own. Because I was still bound. Positionally, I was free. Practically, I was still in chains. Amen. I got Isaiah. He's going to help me with his second illustration. And remember, all of our illustrations have one thing in mind. And it's these three points. God wants us to be free. There are some times when we are free, just Him and I, and we work it out, and He changes me and all that. And there are other times when I need help. So we have a new convert. And I promise not to slay my son. Bethany painted this. This was in pretty bad shape when I got it. You know, kids and two wood swords. I mean, I got it from the back, so. But there is a positional and a practical deliverance from the bondage of sin. When we come to the Lord, we come to the Lord and He positionally breaks sin over us. The power of sin is gone. It has no more dominion. It's not our ruler anymore. But practically now, do you happen to see what's on his arm still? You're not getting the full effect back there. On his arm still are remnants of that chain. Because in his life there are still things that are hanging on. As he reads his word, as he prays, and he comes to places like this, in Romans 6:14, and it says, "For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. And we grow, and the links are broken by us via the truth of the Word of God." The Holy Ghost begins to work on us and to enlighten us, and we grow. And the links begin to come off. We read in 2 Corinthians 7:1, "Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh." Cleanse ourselves. Are you getting this? We can do it sometimes on our own with me and him. Cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God, and we pray. And another link drops off. And we read in Joshua chapter 3 and verse 5, "And Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you." And we pray. And another link drops off. We read in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 26 that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word. And we pray, and another link is dropped off. We read in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12, "Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." And we pray, and another link drops off. I can look, see how many he's got left. We go on and we read in other places in the Word of God where it talks about where we ourselves, with our relationship with the Lord, through prayer, fasting, Bible study, going to church, hearing the Word of God preached, taught. We have a relationship with Him, and we're finding out things, and we're growing, and these links are dropping off. 1 John 5:21, we read, "Little children, keep yourselves from idols." Jude 1, of course there is only one chapter to Jude, but Jude 1, 20 and 21, "But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keeping yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life." And we pray, and another link drops off. Then we come to that one spot in our life. We come to that one spot just like that guy is probably going to come to that I told about earlier. Just like I told about in my own testimony about cigarettes, where I could not do it on my own. We're going to come to that place in our life where that thing is so deeply rooted that we're going to need help. The typology here for this from the Word of God is that of Lazarus, when Jesus called him out of the tomb. Do you remember anything about that? When he came out, what was the matter with him? Say it again. Still bound. So we read in John chapter 11, verse 34. And, excuse me. We read verse 44 to save some time. It says, "And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot, with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin." Jesus saith unto them, he didn't say to Lazarus, he said unto them who were standing by, he said, "You loose him and let him go." And because we're supposed to be ministers for Christ, and Christ's ministry is deliverance, it's part of it, we walk over and we say, "Be free in Jesus' name. Amen." And that's what your part, what my part is. Sometimes we can't get over things on our own. We can't get victory on our own. Sure, that's the way it's supposed to work. And you know what? If we wait for that to happen, I just saw this, but we're going to be like those lepers that were in the gate. Why sit we here until we die? Get up and go do something about it. Go get some help. Amen. Amen. Go get some help. And those that are full of the Holy Ghost, that have victory over things, those things in their life. That's why they're in the church, friend. That's why our pastor's in the church. That's why deacons are in the church. That's why all of the ministry gifts, the fivefold ministry gifts, that's why they're in the church, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. They're there to help us when we get to that point where we find out, hey, this is really tough. I can't get over this on my own. Will you pray for me? Can we set aside a day a week where we pray about this issue, maybe even fast over this issue in my life? Then we come to church and we both have agreed that we're going to do that. And then we come to the altar. We lay hands on one another and pray and watch God do great and mighty things. Because it's His will that we would be free. That there would be no lasting bondages left. Amen. I have another quick illustration. I started to tell Isaiah about what I was going to say to first, and he kind of laughed at it. I've been married 33 years, and everybody in here I see is an adult, so I don't think this will bother you. But, you know, there have been times when I have been so dirty that I didn't even know I had dirt in the places I had dirt. When I was a kid, you know, it was, you know, a mechanic and all that stuff. Well, I still work on cars in the driveway and everything, you know. And there are times when I've had to ask my wife, "Is there any dirt back there?" Baby, can you get that off of that for me? I can't reach it by myself. Are you getting this? Now, I was told to use the tools illustration instead, that this would work. But I'm trying to say, somebody close to you can help you get over some things if you'll just let them know you're going through it. If they'll pray, if they're full of the Holy Ghost, if they have any concern for you at all, they'll help you through it. You may not like what they're going to tell you. You're right, you do need to be free from that. You're right, you do need to stop doing that. Or you're right, you do need to start doing that. But to get over it, you're going to need their help. Take their advice. Find it in the Word of God. Now, don't go to somebody that hasn't got victory over that, or is always mully-grubbing and complaining, because they're not going to be much help to you. But find somebody that's spiritual enough that they've gotten over a few things in their Christian walk. Go to the pastor and ask him to help you get over it. Amen. So I've got, take this home. Do an honest evaluation. Look into your life and see if there's any place. I'm going to do it. All those fingers ain't pointed out there, friends. Do an honest evaluation. Is there any place in your life where the enemy has got control over your thought life? Somebody mentions that name, Skip Boyer, and ugly feelings start to rise up in you. Your emotions. Maybe it's just plain out and out, don't do it, sin. And you just cannot get over it. Write it down. Write down the scriptural references. Do a topical search through your Bible. If you don't know how to do that, I can help you. Then down at the bottom, it talks about some things you're going to do to get those things done. Make an honest evaluation. Lord bless you as you go to service this morning. I need to apologize to Brother Perry. I got called out of town, brother. I'm leaving in 20 minutes or so. I'm going to be gone all week. But I promise you, I will listen to every single sermon and I will apply its truths to my life. Lord bless you as you go to church this morning.